From the Director, Department of Transportation and Public Works, submitting an informational report regarding O'Donnell Park parking structure repair options. This item is also to be considered by the Committee on Finance and Audit. On 9-15-10, this item was referred to departmental staff and audit for a follow-up report. On 12-1-10, this item was referred from the Committee on Transportation, Public Works, and Transit to the Parks Committee. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
And the assumption is that no action was taken in the Transportation Committee?
Not that I'm aware of.
It was before them? Okay. Mr. Takeri and Mr. High, welcome.
Good morning. Mr. Chairman, before you is a update, and we will do these updates both to transportation and parks if you so desire as we have new information or as the project is moving forward. I will tell you that our projected opening of this facility and completing the repairs is July 1st of this year. It is an aggressive plan. And we're going to stay on track with that. If we deviate for any reason, we will bring that back to the board and make sure that you're fully aware of any changes. With that, Mr. High will give you an overview of the report.
Mr. Chair, Supervisors, the report here is a project status report. We've termed it number one. We'll be seeing successive ones after this. It was based on a previous report to the board. There are two components to the work. One is the facade restoration component, and the other is a internal repair component. The facade restoration component essentially removes the existing precast panels and replaces them with some kind of a facade treatment, railing, etc. That's currently being worked on and designed. The description, I won't read through the scope of work there, but that description has remained the same since the last report for the facade restoration component. The focus of this was of this report was the planning and design consultant selection process. Nine consultants received the RFP on December 2nd. They're listed there. There was one consultant that we discounted their ability to propose because of their of a conflict of interest. Corporation Counsel indicated that because one is a this Wiss Cheney Elster is a represents a litigant in a claim against Milwaukee County that they would not be able to propose. Then we received there was a pre-proposal meeting held on December 7th. There were three firms that attended. On December 15th. Milwaukee County received three companies' proposals, Carl Walker Incorporated, Kaler Slater Incorporated, and Wellman Architects. A team of three individuals reviewed those proposals. They scored them. A whole packet of detailed information on that selection process is available if you want to see that. The team members were reviewed and scored those proposals, and the company receiving the highest combined score was Carl Walker Incorporated. They were awarded a contract in the amount of $198,000, given a notice to proceed on December 28th, and a meeting, project kickoff meeting, was held the same date. Mr. Takarian has advised you of the project schedule. Interim milestones, demolition construction start on February 23rd, completion of that on April 20th, and then the envelope improvement construction would be starting on March 28th and complete on June 22nd. There is a DB participation goal of 25% that was established for this component, and the consultant is meeting that goal. As far as the other component of the work, the internal repair, I won't go through the scope of work, but it essentially repairs all of the deficiencies that were found within the structure. We went through a similar process on a similar timeline with an RFP to do that work. Once again, nine firms received the RFP. In this particular situation, we only received one proposal, and that was from Grafe USA. We reviewed that, found them to be responsive and responsible and qualified. They were awarded a contract of $97,000 and given a notice to proceed on December 28th. Milestone dates with this component of the work, which needs to work within the exterior restoration, that repair construction work will be started on March 21st and completed on June 3rd. A goal of 10% DB participation was established, and GRAFE is going to meet that goal. Any questions?
Questions by committee. Supervisor Sanfilippo, then Supervisor Lipscomb.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Has the department considered staging the construction in a way so that we could open part of the structure while you're still working on it? You know, with the goal of trying to get some parking open as absolutely soon as possible and maybe even prior to the beginning of Summerfest?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, we are working with the City of Milwaukee. Currently, they've taken away our occupancy permit for that facility, so we're working with them. That is an option that we have discussed with them. We have not gotten a confirm or an approval that can take place. It obviously will make it more difficult for us to make some of the repairs if we have people in and out of the facility while we're trying to make repairs. But we were asked to look at that, and we are working with the city to determine whether or not we will receive some type of temporary occupancy permit for a portion of the building.
Yeah, I think in our prior item, somebody had brought up the idea of maybe not putting on the EPIS on the outside, and I don't know that that's maybe a good idea, but maybe even delaying that portion of it until the end, later in the year, so that I guess the top of the idea here would be to get parking open as absolutely soon as possible. So I would hope that you guys maybe would consider either staging it in a way so that the whole ramp could be open or partially open prior to the summertime events, or maybe some type of an incentive to the contractors for early completion or working third shift instead of working during the day. Something could be done with the scheduling, all in an attempt to try to ease. We've heard a lot of people speak about the issues they're having with parking and the problems it's causing to the various businesses, as well as the lost revenue to the Parks Department is a big concern. And so I would just, the department does what they can and try to get that open as soon as possible. Thank you.
Supervisor Lipscomb, then Supervisor Dmitrievich, then Supervisor Rice.
I'll refer to Supervisor Dmitrievich. Given the previous question on the left side, I'm probably the same now. So,
Supervisor Dmitrievich.
Well, thank you. Very gentlemanlike. And yes, that is my question. That is exactly a follow up, and we can't beat around the bush anymore. And I think that might have been an error that our current chairman had spoke about, because the meeting I sat in yesterday at Economic and Community Development, it became very clear that if this county board decides to extend the agreement with UW-Milwaukee, we won't have this money in 2011, possibly, because it counts on a lot of other donations and land transfers, et cetera. So what I'd like to know is, what do we do? How would we make that deadline that you set, Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Chairman, committee members, my understanding of the $6.5 million, $500,000 of that $6.5 is cash related to the UWM sale. If indeed that goes through and the policy direction from the board is that that is extended, we would still have the $6 million available to us for repairs. We would then go back and look at what repairs, if any, could be made at a later date. Nothing safety related, nothing that would prevent the opening of that facility, but we would look at each one of the repairs. There was a line item list of repairs that was done by InSpec that we're kind of using as the framework to make the repairs at O'Donnell. We would go back to that list and make a determination where we could make those repairs in later years. That might be a situation where we have to come back to the board and say that of the $500,000 that was related to the UWM, we can't delay that, and we would work with the Department of Administration to figure out where that $500,000 would come from. But as it stands today, we still have the $6 million to work with to do those repairs.
The only thing, Mr. Chairman, is, unless I misunderstood Pam Bryant yesterday, it seemed to be a little bit different of a story in economic and community development. But I think it was unclear to me. But if you're clearing it up, I would appreciate that. And because yesterday it seemed as if, you know, there was even a suggestion that we might have to look into contingency and whatnot. And all that information has to be on the plate before we can proceed. I mean, obviously our budget is totally, you know, interdependent on every move we make. So if I can understand you, so I can repeat it, you think that if we make that extension, I mean, it's kind of like if then, because there's still amendments being proposed, whatever.
Certainly.
But that we can proceed and meet that deadline, but that $500,000, you may have to come back here and reevaluate the full scope, or just the scope on some of the repairs.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, it would be the scope on the repairs as it relates to that $500,000. Again, we would go through the entire facility and try to make whatever cuts we could make for that $500,000. But again, we are, as I said back in December to Transportation Public Works, everything we do, we're going to do an error on the side of safety. We are not going to compromise safety at all, and that includes the schedule. If we cannot meet the schedule July 1st and it needs to be pushed back for whatever reason till August 1st, then that's what we're going to do. And that includes this $500,000. If indeed we can't make any cuts to that project that equates to that $500,000, then we're going to come back to the board. Either way, we're going to come back to the board and tell you that.
Supervisor Rice.
Thank you. Thank you for the report this morning. See if I understand. We've hired two consultants, one on the internal repairs and one on the external. I'd like to know what the thought process is on bifurcating that work. And secondly, let me ask that first question.
Mr. Chair, Supervisors, what we're trying to do is break the work down into phases. So we have, there's actually maybe more than two components. Each of the two main ones can be broken down into two more. We wanted to get the demo work done on the restoration piece, get the panels that are in danger or imminent threat of some kind, get those off the building first. We felt that demolition work could be ongoing as...
Yeah, I didn't make my question. Issued contracts or issued RFPs for two separate aspects of the work, design and construction, one for the facade and another for the interior work.
Correct.
My question is, why didn't you issue a single RFP for both of those components of the work? Is there no firm that could have handled both?
Mr. Chair, Supervisor, it goes back to that same. We felt that two firms could do the work at concurrently, and we felt that resources... available to us, having two separate firms with two contracts would work to our advantage in timing and resources.
Dealing with two separate firms is faster than dealing with one firm.
We felt in this particular case that was the case.
Okay. And my questions are going to this timing question, and believe me, I'm not one to want to draft contracts, nor do I think this committee should be in that business. But this work is in process. And then where is the RFP on the construction work? Will that wait until the design work is completed? Okay. And have you given any thought in the drafting that RFP to either providing incentives for early completion or penalties for failure to complete that work on time? I'm sensitive to what Mr. Tarian said about not wanting to do anything that jeopardize safety, but by the same token, we've got tenants who are really anxious to have this is back on online, and I would hope that in your thought process that you would include something that would make sure that they are sensitive to our need to act on a timely basis and that we provide some contract language to that effect.
Mr. Chair, Supervisors, we have a penalty clause we anticipate in the construction bid documents for the contractor. That liquidated damages is based on a $5,000 a day based on the revenue made by Parks over the course. I think it's $1.5 million a year that DAS gave us that figure. So it's a $5,000 a day penalty for the contractor for any delays. We've also taken an unprecedented step of using the same liquidated damages clauses in our consultant agreements, which we've never done before. So we've not only have that to spur the contractor along, but the design consultants as well.
That contract for repairs is going to be in the range of what, $6 million?
Mr. Chair, Supervisor, the entire contract is in the range of, I believe, slightly under $6 million.
I just, suggest that $5,000 a day may not, be as significant an incentive on a $6 million contract as we might think it would be for a contractor. So if there's any other ways that we can incent them to complete on time, I'd ask you to think about that as you put that contract together.
Thank you. Further questions? I had a quick one. I was taken off guard this morning by the electronic media when they asked me, why are the lights on down there during the daytime and presumably at night? But is the facility lighted for some specific reason, safety or anti-vandalism efforts? Or I didn't know quite how to respond. Yes.
Chairman, Supervisors, I would say that's probably an operational issue as opposed to Public Works, but I will check into that. To my understanding, we have had some issues with the homeless people and things down there, and we've been working with the tenants and the Sheriff's Department, what have you, but I'll check into that.
I told them I was sure there was a good reason. I just didn't know what it was. lastly, the aesthetics of the replacement panels. Are we going to be reviewing the design work prior to its being implemented? Is that going to come back to the committee?
Mr. Chairman, committee members, any deviation from what we originally proposed, I think on the east side we talked about removing the panels and not doing any type of panel adjustment on the east side of the building. We were going to look to do something on the south side that matched the transit center. Any change, any deviation from that, we will bring back to this committee so you can see if we do have an alternative to the original proposed, where our consultant feels that we should look at something different than what we originally proposed. We will bring that back to transportation and parks for your review.
Good.
Yes.
Yeah, it occurred to me, and I've heard this from others, that the common theme, it seems, on the lakefront, given the Calatrava and Discovery World, is white. Mm-hmm. And, it might be an integrating factor. But
sure.
That's helpful to know. Are there any further questions on item number two? Any comments? Hearing none, that item is informational. I'm told that the Transit Committee already has moved to receive and place this on file, so in fact it will be shared with our colleagues. So the item is informational. We'll move on to item number three.